Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, country music legend Kiki Friedman and comedian Christina P. from the Netflix special Mother Inferior. And now, I guess Jack Silver was right about not booking Louis C.K. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend, y'all. We love that. About you, I'm excited to talk to Kinky and a couple of you, and Christina as well. Kinky, I've been watching on Tales from the Tour Bus, or is it a tour bus? Tales from the Tour Bus. Mike Judge, interesting stuff. It's a really interesting little show about all the guys and all the gals and all the touring and all the craziness and all the insanity and how there's so many stories. He frequently pops up to fill in the mortar between the bricks of the stories.
It's funny seeing him in animation, too, because he is animated perfectly from the hat to the clothes. It's really amazing seeing a cartoon figure of him.
Yeah, they sat down, they interviewed everybody, and then they just animated them, and they kind of went kind of Cranky Anchor style. Just put the voice over the animation. So I'll be interested in talking to him about life and beyond. Also, this thing, I don't know if you guys, could we make certain rules? I'll give you a good one.
It's all you do around here.
All I do is make rules. the DVR player, now albeit the cheap DVR player that I have, I should say DVD or Blu-ray. Okay. The cheap DVD or Blu-ray player that AV Ed put into my house has no lights on the front and nothing that lights up. It's this weird sort of... It's like somebody took a notch trowel and put
sleek
grooves. It's grooved all the way along. You don't know where the door pops open, and there is no... There's a power button, but the power button is not lit up, and...
The hell sense does that make?
It'll drive you insane, because that'll go, yeah, it's a cheap one. And I'll go, yeah, I know it's a cheap one, but how much for a little light that lights up when it's on? Yeah. He goes, oh, nothing. Oh. And then I go, yeah, well, they should have put it on. And he goes... It's a cheap one.
Yeah.
Like I know, but it's a cheap car. This one has three wheels and no airbags. Like we need an industry standard. So I'm like on the phone with him and I'm trying to fire the thing up, but I don't know. And it's also weird delay. And none of the buttons are. It's just not marked. And it's in down low in the shelf. You just keep pushing the same button. You start pushing other buttons, and then he goes, "Well, check the power strip." So I get him on the phone. He says, check the power strip. See if the power strip is on. The thing's all plugged into the power strip. Power strip's back there, tucked in behind the console. I look down. He says, is the power strip on? I go, I have no fucking idea, because that doesn't light up either. That just has a red switch, but the red switch doesn't light up. And I don't know if it's on or off. I can't read it. Could we just
in terms of the government, I know, I want smaller government, but when it comes to
certain regulations would be nice.
Because goddamn power strips have a little light on them. Yeah. How many times have you tried to like set and reset? Yep. And listen, I'm not saying you can't buy one that doesn't have a light on it. I'm saying we should sell none that don't have lights. That's a double negative, but you know what I'm saying. I don't want a DVD that does not have a little green light, and or could we establish what the color was. I feel like on TVs, sometimes it's red, sometimes it's green,
sometimes
it blinks.
Sometimes the thing itself lights up, the little switch.
Right.
On the power strips, you know, that thing lights up. There's a little green indicator sometimes. And there's nothing, like you said.
Yes. I just like, I'd like to live in the world where you're fishing around. I'm looking at TVs here. There is no lights, as I can tell. But there's a thing that'll let you know if you're used to it, but not when you're in a hotel room and you keep hitting power on the remote. Mm. And could we work the delay out? Certain things are immediate. Mm. For instance,
light switch.
You hit the garage door opener or the light switch, and it either does it or it doesn't do it. Yeah.
You know immediately.
Yeah. There's like a gate here that has like a 4-second delay. Yep. Just enough time so you hold the thing and you click it again. And there's just enough delay on a lot of TV sets and electronics and stuff like that. Every single DVD player I've ever had, when you push eject, it's like one Mississippi, two Mississippi. Oh, maybe I didn't hit. And then it starts ejecting, but you're turning the power off.
You're playing whack-a-mole with it.
Right. That's right.
And, you know, to add insult to injury with the power strip, the red light the light that doesn't turn on, the button is always red.
Yes.
So that's also very confusing.
Yes, the button is solid and red. Yeah. And in this case, and I got poor Ed on the phone because I'm screaming at him, A, about the DVD player, but now then about the power strip not having a light on it as well.
Imagine the devil's bargain of being Adam Carolla's AV guy. You're selling the best stuff. You're installing the coolest stuff.
However,
celebrity client.
At what price?
Exactly.
At what price?
That call's coming at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Ed!
I'm just saying, I would... Just like you can't, there's a million regulations for a million products around the house. And I would like to add, you cannot sell a power strip that doesn't light up.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know. I need to look at it and know. Not flip every, by the way, you can screw everything up if you go just check it, toggle it once.
Yep.
You'll have to reboot everything and all that. Yes.
And the minimal cost, like if it's the difference between a $12.99 power cord and a $13.03 power cord, I'm just fine with that.
I don't, when it comes to the DVDs or the power cords, I think it's a matter of nickels, maybe pennies that it adds to it. And once you just make it a rule, then it is. It's just added 21 cents to every single cord out there. All right. There was that to complain about. Also, what's going on with this? So, I got the alarm guys, and they're putting in some smoke detectors over at the other shop, and they do this thing that drives me nuts. I don't know why I have this thing, but the guys who come into your space, do some stuff, make a mess, and leave, I cannot stand. I can't stand it. I used to do it for a living, and I was always meticulous about wiping everything down and cleaning up. I didn't want them to know I was there.
Right.
Snatch a few Tylenol PMs from the master bath.
Yeah, your tariff.
Get a handful of cashews, but then they always turn the label so it's facing the same direction.
Know.
And think I would never just leave it out on the counter like that. Would never,
brazen.
Never tell that way. But these alarm guys are funny. So the one guy, he was in there, and I always think about these guys when I think about Simply Safe. This stuff was in before I met Simply Safe, so I have to use these guys because the whole shop's wired up.
You're mobbed up.
I'm mobbed up, but two things. One is the guy at one point some years ago was like drilling through some concrete and putting like a sensor where the window was, and he's drilling through it, and it's making a mess. Like it's just concrete dust everywhere, and it's inside of my office, and it's like just, it's like everywhere, and I come walking in, and his female cohort, who I guess is his wife or his girlfriend, is standing next to him holding a shop vac, but it's not on. Like, I would fire up the shop vac, get it right up into the point of contact. Like, fire up the thing where the roto hammer bit hits the concrete. You're sucking it all up, so you're getting every...
Doesn't even make it to the ground.
As much as you possibly can. I come walking in. I go, well, what's up? It's like, what's up? Like, well, you got the vacuum in your hand. Fire it up and get it up there. And he turns and he looks at me and goes, oh, I'm not talking to her.
Oh,
they're having a fight.
A fall? You walked in the middle of the dispute?
There's only one loser.
Domestic situation.
They're having a fight. So, so it was all the stuff was hitting the ground. But I said, so these guys were up and they're doing a thing, and they're doing a thing that drives me nuts. I don't know if you guys have experienced this. You have to live my world to fully experience the majesty of this. But all they use is these zip ties, millions of those plastic zip ties that you've seen them hold. They for everything, electricians. Right. They just always use them. And what they do is they put them around a bundle of wires as thick as your finger. And the zip tie is 7 inches, 8 inches long. They put around a little bundle of wires. They zip it tight, and then they clip the end. And that means there's a 4-inch clear or black zip end that just always ends up on the goddamn ground underneath where they're working. And that is that. That is that. They are done. The second
is it not retrieved
they
or cleaned
clip it,
or?
They never, it's never retrievable. If you walk around, if you go through life, everyone listening, just look down and walk. You will see those things all over the ground. They're sort of like cigarette butts or something. There's a weird thing that someone, there's things in life that we've decided you need to clean up. And then there are things in life we've decided you don't need to clean up.
Yeah.
Cigarette butts are a thing we've decided you
it's
don't need to clean up. It's just
floor,
when you're done, you
you're
just,
blind to it.
You just toss it.
Yeah.
Right. Like I and gum is a little bit that way. I don't think people feel that way with like equal mass things. Like if you open a candy bar and slide the candy bar out and just throw the wrapper on the ground, people are gonna be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you're
pick that up. You cigarette butt, you flick it away, or gum, you spit it out. These zip tie ends are the cigarette butts
of the industry.
Of the industry. And you'll see them everywhere. And so I saw it. So they get up on a ladder and they clip them and there they are.
And it's done.
Just right below them. And I said to them, hey, I don't want to find a bunch of these around. I want you to clean up after yourself. And they're like, oh, yeah. Like, I love that everyone's plan is always clean, clean, Mr. Clean. My middle name's Clean. I'm the white tornado. But it's always like, yeah, yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah, no. And then they leave for the day. And then I count 7 of them that I find just on the ground, just sitting in the middle of the carpet. Just now, the notion that we have the goddamn conversation and you still can't do it. And then
about your job.
Then today I was looking down and I saw the little yellow, red, and black wires, which is the next one they do,
oh,
is when they clip them, those little
ones.
Fingernails, they just fall down. They never, what is that? What is so difficult? Like, why is that so, it is a unicorn, that is riding Halley's Comet in the trades industry to find somebody who cleans up after themselves or has an ounce of dignity as it pertains to that.
Is the thinking, and I'm not agreeing with
There's
it,
no
I'm just
thinking,
trying to get,
but go ahead.
Okay, that, you know, I'm here for the big job, okay? I'm rewiring the place. I'm not here for the little cleanup detail.
Yeah, that's the apprentice's job.
Right. Who doesn't exist.
Who doesn't exist. Here. Okay, I believe here's how it works, and you can't, no one can convince me otherwise. There's the part of the job that if they don't complete, they're not getting paid. Mm. That's the zip ties on, wire hooked up, clip the wires, wrap the wires, hook up the wires. You'll not get paid if that part's done. You will get paid and have gotten paid and almost always get paid if there's
whether
the little
not,
trimmings that are left behind on the floor for someone else to clean up. You still get paid, and it's not like somebody backs out, $1.75 per zip tie clipping we find. There's none of that. So all we have is you and your pride. That's all we have. That's all we have to prevent this is your pride. What stops everyone from everything is either being rewarded or punished.
Right.
But when you take mature people who take a pride in their business, then you have to ask them, you have to say to them, what's this about? Because there is no extra. Now, when you remove that, you're pretty much lost with about 97% of the population. And then you get into this rarefied air. The guys 61, he's showing up to your pad in a beat up van, and he's getting up on an A-frame ladder for $17 an hour all day. He's probably not the top of his class at the Naval Academy.
I was going to say.
See what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. So thus, but still brought it up. Like, still said, hey, pick him up. Mm-hmm. I want you to pick him up.
Still, yeah, what the customer wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Client, whatever it is.
All right, we got to call.
Wouldn't the most efficient thing to be just, as you do it, whatever clipping, shove it in your pocket and just have a full pocket by the end of the day or end of the ship or whatever? And just,
that's a good idea.
It's all good. It never happens. It just never happens.
Before we take that call, I just have a little bit of job insecurity I wanted to bring up real quick. I heard that Mike August did a great job as the news girl.
Mm. Dominating performance is what I would call it. Yeah.
I just wanted to get your feelings on that. And
it was probably, you talk about the live show in Oxnard that you decided
I am so
ditch.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes, I flaked. At last minute.
No, you did it intentionally.
I did. I had a previous commitment. I tried to prep him. Apparently, he didn't use any of my stories. He went rogue. And I just want to make sure that we're cool.
We'll talk after the show.
It was probably the best
Devo, live show. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't mean our best live show.
The best.
I'm
mean
just sweating
the
a little bit.
The best live show that's ever been.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring
show.
It up, but it was amazing.
In fact, I feel bad qualifying it as a good live show. It was just a dominating
legendary performance.
We've submitted it to the Smithsonian, actually.
Okay. Yeah. They're going to put it right next to Archie Bunker's chair and Fonzie's jacket.
Very hot in here.
Yeah, and the Spirit of St. Louis. They're going to hang it from the ceiling. Yeah, you can check it out if you subscribe over there at adamcarolla.com. It's an awesome tour for us. Mike doesn't have nerve endings.
He tries to do your laugh, which was weird.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, that was
he doesn't get nervous or excited. Like, he doesn't get anything because he just has this no nerve endings.
Yeah. Gina said to me, did he eat on stage? Yeah. Like, no, he drank a Corona. Maybe that's why he was so good. He was sharp. He was hungry. Literally hungry.
Yeah, Gary, we brought up the Katie Lang analogy and how it described it like Katie Lang. And Gary
he came through
found a picture of Mike August and Katie Lang that we will put up.
Holy moly!
Interchangeable!
Adam legitimately looks at him, which is which?
Oh, this is
I could tell from where I was on stage.
Oh my God.
Well, the first time he didn't know it was two distinct people.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was two people. Right.
Great.
One is in a sharp suit with a great haircut, and one's Mike August. Other than that, they're exactly the same.
Yeah, we'll put it up at adamcarolla.com, but you'll have a nice laugh about that.
You know what the real treat was? Not for the audience, but for us backstage, Mike August's father was there, the football coach.
Augie.
Coach Augie.
I'm sorry I missed that.
He's a delight.
All right.
Good guy. All right. Back to the calls. I'll take them 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. You don't want to go through what I went through, do you? With all the trimmings and the arguing and the domestic squabbles and the dust and everything. Holidays, man. They can be a little crazy around the house. Let's get protection. Let's get Simply Safe home security. They're having a massive Black Friday sale. $200 off their special holiday security system. Mm-hmm. Effortless, delivered right to your door with free shipping. You can set it up in under an hour. Your home is completely protected around the clock. And there's no long-term lock-in contracts or hidden fees. Don't deal with all these guys running around your house, making a mess. No, just go online, order your system right to your door, peel and stick, put it up. Batteries last up to 10 years. Go right now. Get $200 off the Simply Safe system. It's the Black Friday sale. SimplySafe.com/Adam. Get the $200 off. Systems are going to fly off the shelves. Let's get going. Offer's going to end soon. It's SimplySafe.com/Adam. All right. So we're calling Kinky. Let me just mow down a couple. Oh, he's online too. All right. Let me just mow down line 5. Michael, 42, Sacramento.
Hi, hey, I wanted to, I saw your Twitter account tweeted out that it was Bill Simmons' birthday today. Excuse me.
Wait, it's Jimmy Kimmel's birthday.
I thought I saw Sports Guy's birthday. I could be wrong.
Jimmy the Sports Guy.
Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy.
Michael's half right. It does say happy birthday to the Sports Guy, but Jimmy is the original Sports Guy.
The tweet has a picture of you and Jimmy.
In like mariachi clothes.
I saw it pop up on my phone. I didn't know.
Okay. That could happen. I get it.
So I read Simmons when he started on ESPN, and I kind of knew you through the Man Show and stuff like that, but Simmons wrote an article early in his days at ESPN after he had moved to write for Jimmy, and he wrote that, you probably find this somewhere in their archives, about his experience in Hollywood, and that Adam Carolla was the funniest person he'd ever met.
Yeah.
Ace
man, funniest person, best looking, Tom Brady. Worst food to make you unfunny, Chinese food.
So,
Simpson out.
Sorry. Yeah. So after that, you shortly after that became syndicated in Sacramento, and we had this kind of local morning show that had been dominating for years, but I'd grown bored of them. They had the same old shtick after a while. And I turned on your show, got my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, turned on your show, and I've been listening to you ever since, but I thought I wanted to tell you that Simmons was actually the one that turned me on to you way back when. And that leads to my question of, you either got to go on his podcast or him on yours pretty soon, because I think you guys are good together. I know he's busy with his whole Ringer empire over there, but you guys do good together.
I agree. I love doing it when I do it. It's been about, did it about 4 months ago, 5 months ago. It wasn't that long ago I came over and did his. He treats the Valley like Johnny Drama treats the Valley. Let me tell you something. It's not a two-way street. Can I tell you, I frequently have meetings in Century City and frequently have meetings Fox, May 10th. Yeah. 10th episode of his pod in May. Yes. Okay. I frequently have meetings in Century City and in Santa Monica. Almost on a weekly basis. No. I got to drive from my house and go down to Santa Monica and have a meeting. I get it. And then there are also times when I was down on Wilshire, mid-Wilshire, right next to where we used to work at KLSX. I was just meeting with a guy this morning. That's what I do.
Kind of got to go all over.
You tell guys who live on the west side, you got to come into the valley. They're like, no, we don't do it. And it's
that's me every day.
It's actually less traffic probably coming this way at, you know, noon than going the other way or 10 or whatever it is. But either way, I do it all day, every day. I don't get it. But Bill Simmons, one of these guys who won't come into the valley.
Yeah.
Even though
there are plenty of those guys.
He has his reasons.
Where he is, where the Ringer is not very,
I don't know where it is.
It's like Hollywood, like sort of around Hollywood Center Studios or something like that. I think it's like it's technically over the hill,
away from here.
Central.
You get here in 15, 20 minutes, like no problemo. So, look, we'll work on it, Michael. And I thank you. And Kinky's on line two, so thanks. Okay.
Fade out.
Kinky Friedman?
Yeah, Adam.
Hey, man. Good to talk to you.
Hell yeah. Yeah, Richard Kinky Big Dick Friedman.
That's me.
Oh, I'm here, brother.
I've been really...
That's my full Christian name, actually.
I've been really getting to know you from Tales from the Tour Bus, which you've been popping on quite a bit. Mike Judge's show, I'd recommend it to anyone out there and see Kinky sitting there smoking a cigar, wearing his cowboy hat, telling all the stories about... It seems like every single one of the stories has a Kinky Friedman connection. He was there. They knew of him. He worked with them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just, I like hanging with some of those guys who are older than me, you know. I am now 73, though I read at the 75-year-old level.
Congratulations.
Kinky's, I don't know, dying breed in terms of, he's a humorist, which you don't really, you don't see the humorist so much. There's a bunch of actors.
Well, the comedians are not very funny, are they, Adam? I mean, they really seem not to be as funny as they used to.
They're getting pretty serious these days. They're even getting a little bit preachy as well.
They're very serious, and, we're, one of the nice things about what I'm doing now is this tour that we're doing, a little mini tour that ends in L.A., I guess, on Saturday, at McCabe's Guitar Shop. That is going to be a real financial pleasure for the Kingster.
Yeah.
And it's a concert, but it's also a book release of the book of the Life and Times of Kinky Friedman. But did you go into a diabetic coma, Adam, or are you still there?
I'm here. I'm listening. I was just thinking about the time I went and saw John Hiatt do an acoustic set at McCabe's. Probably circa 1984, something like that. McCabe's is a cool little guitar shop, and you can get up close and personal with the talent there. It's really a cool little place. It's been there for a million years, And it's just a great little intimate venue to see someone like Kinky Freeman. Kinky, what is...
The last time I went there was to see Towns Van Zandt and Guy Clark, both of whom have been bugled to Jesus since then.
Towns, was featured in one of the last episodes that Kinky was in. I'll tell you the thing that you struck me when I was watching all these stories, Waylon Jennings and all these kind of things. Because I got to go, I live in Hollywood, so I got to get lectured all day about white privilege. And then you watch these stories, like, she picked cotton. Like the white, Tammy Wynette or whoever. It's like, she just picked cotton. And then they lived in a outhouse with no floor. And they lived there for 7 years and she still picked cotton. And then they would go off, but she could only afford one shoe. And it was like, everything was just insane poverty mixed with substance abuse, mixed with more poverty. And it's just all white people. Just, you forget there's poor white people in this country at a certain time, right, Kinky?
Absolutely, you know, but it's financially, I don't think it's that has never been that big a deal with me. I mean, it's not the pot of gold, it's the rainbow. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. That's what I've gotten out of all this. And, of course, I haven't seen what you're talking about, Adam, because I don't have any internet or electronic stuff.
You're off
the grid.
You're off the grid.
Well, my shrink is Willie Nelson. And he tells me that I'm really, it's a big mistake not to be in the loop, you know, to be totally out of things electronically is a mistake. But I want to tell you one thing. Willie called me last year, 3 o'clock in the morning from Hawaii. And he said, "What are you doing, Kinky?" And I said, "I'm watching Matlock." And he said, "Well, that's a sure sign of depression."
Oh, depression.
He said, "Turn them off. Turn Matlock off and start writing, Kinky. Start writing." So I wrote about 12 or 13 songs right in very quickly. I hadn't written in like 40 years. And then I called Willie and said, "I've written these songs kind of inspired by you." And he said, "Well, send them on to me. Send them on." And then I said, "Willie, how are you doing? I've been hearing these rumors that you're not feeling well." You know, he said, "Oh, a little up, a little down, the usual." He says, "But you know, by the way, Kinky, what channel is Matlock on?" And that struck me as a joke to one person in the universe at the time. But and it still is, in fact.
No, we're in the double digits.
But I can. The only thing I don't share with Willie really is the love of the sport of golf. Willie, it's like a religion to him, golf. And the only two good balls I ever hit was when I stepped on the garden rake.
That's a good one. I feel like Willie Nelson and Alice Cooper are the two most unlikely golfing fanatics, right?
They love it.
He would golf with Heinrich Himmler. He doesn't care. You know, it's just... I don't know. Willie says, if you fail at something long enough, you become a legend. And that may be what's kind of happened to me. Politics, you know, I ran for governor of Texas in 2006 as an independent candidate. A race we won every place but Texas.
Uh-huh. And you got 500,000 votes. That's not too shabby.
Well, that's politics. Poly means more than one, and ticks are blood sucking parasites.
Well done,
Kinky.
You're not your best stump speech to the other candidates.
A material for McCabe's now.
It's good though. Yeah.
The book is Everything's Bigger in Texas: The Life and Times of Kinky Freeman, and it's available now on Amazon. And you can bookmark us and click through our site as well. And then also November 18th, McCabe's Guitar Shop out here in Santa Monica. Very good place to go see a talent and get intimate.
And a book launch. I will have the books there. It was written by Mary Lou Sullivan, by the way, who previously did a book on Johnny Winter, which was very successful. And I told her, if you write one book, you've written one book. You know, if you write two books, you're an author. Oh. Way, if you write three books, you're a hack. So that's
there's a sweet spot.
And if you like the book, never meet the author because he will be a self-absorbed asshole. That's almost guaranteed.
100% true.
Kinky Friedman. Hey, wait a minute. KinkyFriedman.com is where you go, and there's two shows, an 8 p.m. and a 10 p.m. as well. Kinky. Hey, man, thanks for joining us.
May the Lord take a liking to you.
It'd be nice. I could use it. Yeah, it's fun. Like I said, you watch this show, and you'll see a lot of Kinky chiming in, and a lot of pretty outrageous behavior from a lot of guys that just sort of had their own ideas about what they should be doing for a living.
Oh.
In a weird way, they were kind of the original rap artists, which is they didn't really have a high regard for, they didn't want a daytime job. They didn't have much regard for the law. They just sort of liked to do their own
the straight
thing.
And narrow.
And
they love the bitches and the hoes.
And they would treat society sort of like, well, there's everyone else who goes to work, and then I do what I do.
Yeah.
Hustle.
It was a little bit dangerous. Rambler. A little bit of a dangerous lifestyle.
Does he have kind of a Shel Silverstein meets Johnny Cash thing going
on? Yeah.
I like that.
I sure like
Shel
him.
Shel Silverstein. I like him, too. And Kinky as well, yes. All right. Let's see. One more call here, and then we got blah, blah, blah. You want to play that? Yeah. All right. Let's do that. Let me just take this call. Danny, 36, Oregon.
Ace Man, Gina, Bald, get it on.
What's going on, man?
Hey, in reference to your first caller, man, I remember reading the same article, and that's how I got turned on to you, and now I download you every day during my morning dump, so.
Wow. Thanks,
Happy
Bill
Valentine's
Simmons.
Day.
Yeah.
When he's constipated, our ratings go down.
So I had this thought, you know, all this talk about feelings and everything like that going on in the world, and I'm not really that empathetic of a person, but I find myself maybe rolling my eyes in my personal life and like with my wife or kids and not as sensitive to those things. And I just wondered, you know, is that kind of creeping into people's like mentality and not being as sensitive to things that maybe they should be?
Well, I don't know exactly what you're asking, but I'll give you my best answer.
Like for instance, my wife was like had an early flight and she was complaining and stuff, and I could have been a little more nicer about it, but I kind of just, you know, roll my eyes a little bit at like, oh, you just get through it. You'll power through it. No big deal.
So you know better, so maybe, but you're just kind of giving yourself permission to be like, eh, screw it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, see, now there's a balancing act you have to walk with the wives or the kids or the whomevers. Brian doesn't have to deal with this, but okay. The rest of us do, which is if you, my tendency for whatever anyone has done or is going to do is, that's a layup, no big deal, you got that one, right. don't worry about it. Because most of the component is a psychological component. You know, if you really think about, I got to wake up early, I got to make a flight, it's a psychological thing. I mean, you have to get up and do it, but it's not physically, there's not much to it. It's a psychological thing. It's like, oh boy, I got to get up Wednesday. I got to get up at like 5:15.
Yeah. Sure, I had to take care of the kids and stuff, and I wasn't bitching and complaining or anything. Like, you know, we both all got stuff to do. We could take care of it.
Sounds like you are bitching.
Yeah. So the balance, is if you do what I don't like, which is, Oh my God, that's devastating. Like, that's got to be brutal. Well, then you're pushing the person further down this uncomfortable road that they're already starting their journey on. And since it's all psychological anyway, then why are we pushing them further down that road? On the other hand, if you're dismissive and you go, that's nothing. I did morning radio for 4 years. I got up at 5 every morning. And then they don't like that.
You're
can't
cheapening
be,
their experience.
You can't be dismissive. Now, the answer is there's probably, well, here's the catch 22. The catch 22 is the person who would really be receptive to the part where you go, it's all psychological, get up early in the morning, go hit it. I mean, the money people have it tougher than you do. This is nothing. By the way, you sleep in the back of an Uber, and next thing you know, you're sitting in first class on an airplane. What's the big whoop? That person never brings it up in the first place.
Right.
Like the person
they're not the one that needs
who
convincing.
You can really give the straight dope to doesn't
need
lament that.
Yeah.
Doesn't have that.
Anyway.
The person that does lament it is the person that needs the sugar-coated kind of pillowy version of, oh my God, that's, I feel, you poor thing. So I think there's this balance of, you know, the sort of philosophical, which is, I know, but you're tough. You'll do it. You'll knock it out. Before you know it, you'll just be wheels up on that airplane.
You know what I don't think is fair? I think we Jews are really given the short end of the stick on that one, because DNA, we're genetically sort of – but also,
flawed.
I want to tell
inferior.
You, yes, all, yes.
Okay.
All of this.
Broken.
Correct. You are not going to believe the day I'm having tomorrow. Oy, gewalt, it's the worst, it's the worst. So that's where we start.
Right.
When someone's just asking about our day.
Right, and nobody wants to be dismissive when they're trying to talk about it. On the other hand, I don't like the spiral part. Like, I don't like it. You'll note it. When you have kids, you'll see them. They'll start to spin a little bit, and you have to stop them from spinning. Like, they go like, oh my God, and I don't have anything to wear. And it's like, you have to go like, relax, relax. We'll find you something to wear. Just go get it. And they'll start to spin, and you don't, if you stand next to them and go, oh my God, what's happening? Oh, then they're going to spin. You're feeding into the spin.
Good thing they're not Jews.
So, yeah.
Telling us.
Yeah. So, Danny, you have to figure, what is this person, namely your wife, what is she looking for at this particular moment? And what she's looking for is not advice on packing light or leaving early. She's looking for a little shoulder
a kind ear,
in which case you
validation.
Just have to hold still for that.
Yeah.
And not come at it with the super pragmatic, it's no big
Here's
deal.
Here's what you do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we all have the thousand stories. I mean, I was just sitting around thinking the other night, how for many, many, many episodes, my deal with Howard Stern was, I will finish doing Loveline at midnight, 12:02 in Culver City. I will drive home to my house under the Hollywood sign, and I will be back here before 3 a.m., when they go live in New York for 4.5 hours, sitting at the same mic. It would always mean less than an hour sleep, like maybe a full hour if I could really work it out right. And I would do that constantly. Like, I did that a lot, and that's totally insane. But we've all had a lot of that in our lives, and I would suggest
it's an opportunity. You like doing
it, especially radio people.
I would suggest that you get over it.
Yeah,
that's my advice.
And she needs is a little boy. That sounds tough. Sure, proud of you, and that's
all.
It.
That's
Is
it.
There anything I can do to help?
That's right.
You could even leave that out.
All right. When you travel, leave that out. Travel. Do not leave this out. Your MVMT watch, man. Movement watches style. That doesn't break the bank, man. Great holiday gift. I love mine. I wear them up on stage. You got to know what time it is when you're up there making the mirth, man. Having the show. Well, it's like a once-in-a-lifetime show we have.
Oh, man.
This will never be duplicated. Started, by the way, MVMT, started by two broke college kids. These guys wanted stylish watches, couldn't afford them, so they started their own company. Hey, kind of like the Ace Man. And they start at just $95, and their watches that at department stores go between $400 and $500. Yep. Selling them online means no middleman, no hidden fees, and no retail markup. So over 1 million sold in over 160 countries. Get 15% off today. Free shipping. Go online and check out what they have. Free returns, although you're going to love it. Go online. Go to MVMT Watches, MVMTWatches.com/Adam. Get up to 15% off and just see all the super cool pieces they have there. I guarantee you'll get more than one. All right. Shall we play? Let's see. Our guest is here, right, Gary? Got blah blah. Maybe should we play
with the guest?
Maybe she'd like to play.
Maybe Christina would like to play with us.
She has some insight. She's a comedian. She's plugged in.
Yeah.
All right. These are going to be Louis C.K. themed blogs. All right.
Tweets.
We will. We say blah blah blog like people say cassette or book on tape.
Yeah,
or
you tape this. Yeah.
Record a record.
Make a
listen
record.
To records. Yeah, not anymore, but we get it. Christina P., very funny comedian, is out there. We'll talk to her right after Good Sports.
Good Sports. It's time for a sports segment. Good Sports. It's time for Ace and Dave. Good Sports. It's time to get it started. NFL highlights.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there, where we left off on Monday. We were talking about NFL fight songs. Of course, college football owns that realm, but NFL has some good ones, and I dare say, I think this would be a great cause. And in fact, I've talked to the one-man house band Dick Banks about doing just that. Wouldn't that be a great service to provide to NFL fans is who don't have a fight song currently, is to create one? Maybe, Ace, since you're cynical about it, maybe you could play a hand in this and make better fight songs for the future.
Okay. I have many projects going right now, but I could squeeze this one.
This is a passion project. You'll carve this one. You'll carve out time for this.
Well, here's my criteria for a project. If it takes up a lot of time and yields no money, then I'm in.
Oh, so this is perfect.
That's what I'm in for.
This is ideal for you. Let's start it off with the ones I've boiled it down to. These are, in my opinion, best of. Let's start traditional first. Give me either the Redskins or the Bears, because those are the most classic in nature. Chicago Bears, bear down.
Oh, really?
Play on words, bear down, you see. And Chicago Bears. When a whole stadium is singing this and it's chilly and it's a steel gray sky overhead, it's very Midwestern, it's very Big Ten. It's no wonder this would be a great song. Your thoughts on this, Ace?
It's good. I just feel like it doesn't feel bespoke. I just feel like it could be any, you could take any team, college, high school, Pop Warner, pro, and plug in these Valley Trojans.
Right. Purdue can win the game. Right, you can do that with anybody.
That's it's a little generic. I look for bespoke. Oh, I believe, Gary, I think Sheck might be able to answer this in real time. I think there was an Earl Campbell song.
Ooh.
And that it's quite possible that not only did the Houston Oilers have their own song, but Earl Campbell had his own song. There were a couple players that actually sort of had their own.
That sounds right.
Ode to, and maybe it's when he was playing his college ball at Texas. Was he at Texas?
He's the Tyler Rose, yeah.
Yeah, there was, I feel like there was an Earl Campbell.
See if you can find that. That's
well.
Oh yeah, in the 50s or maybe 40s and so, yeah, they would sing songs about individuals. I think I bet you they're going to be able to find some of those. And then there are those cheesy ones that came out that are supposed to sound retro in the 80s that are way too saccharine for my taste about old time baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sinking Baseball, Mickey and the Mickets. Oh, please. Why don't the youth love our game anymore? Because of that. Stop singing those dumb songs.
The song that I always wanted Rich Banks to do, and Rich, if you're listening, maybe we can work on this one, which is I wanted these songs started off pretty straight, like Big John, and it's like kind of broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip, and everyone knows you don't give no lip to Big John. Big John. And they start talking, and it starts like it's bouncing off the red line limiter. Like it's right up against homoerotic. You know what I mean? Then it stops, and he sent a Louisiana man to the promised land with one big swing from his big right hand and all this kind of stuff. But it's like it's almost gay, but not quite. It's kind of like pro wrestling. You know what I mean? Like it's right there.
Yeah.
Guys with their shirts off, going at it and stuff. But it's not gay. But it's right there.
Yeah.
I wanted to cross the line into gay.
I think that this is, you know what, we can't just, Dick Banks could do a capable job with this, but you know, we got to call in the ringer, John Kimmel. This is so up his alley to do the vocals on it and everything. The Big John. I could absolutely see this. Let's make that so. Meantime, Gary.
Big Rich was a flesh driving man.
I can't wait to hear this one. Gary, play us now, since we just heard a more traditional one. Give us the, you know what? Give us the old San Diego Chargers fight song. This is a good one. This is very 70s.
This could have been in Chips or something. I could see Punch and John listening to this while they're chasing perps.
Yeah.
Here we go now.
Yeah, this is one of those songs where you could narrow down, not, forget about the decade, the month that the song was recorded. May 1977.
Listen to this.
Superchargers.
San Diego Superchargers.
Best time to be alive and be an American. Remember, Sheck, all you need to know. Pre-AIDS, mid-Coke. Best
so
genre.
Right.
Best genre ever.
I'll tell you, man. I lament. You're just a little bit older than me, and that's everything, because I grew up in an age, obviously I was nerdy, so I was already behind the eight ball, speaking of cocaine. Because, you know, so the 60s, it's free love and everything. Then the 80s, 70s, it's disco time and there's more drugs and more free love and nobody tethered to anybody else and, you know, key parties and all that. Then the 80s, cocaine. And then right as I hit puberty and the time where you do your most Coxman-like work, right then AIDS. That's AIDS. Then AIDS starts. Then I'm in college for it. And now you're with her.
The doctor had to be giving you speeches.
If I'm with you, then I'm with all the partners you've ever had. Well, hey, good news, lady. I'm clean. You don't have to worry about that. They didn't care. Then now I hear. So then all of a sudden, now we're in the 21st century. Everybody's right back to it. All the teenagers and 20-somethings are back practicing free love. When's it my turn? When's it my turn to have a parade? When's it my turn for the light to shine on me for 15 minutes? I always am getting the short end of the stick.
I know. It's that thing that many people have run into, which is the gal was fast and loose and having eyes wide shut parties and stuff like that. And then when you get to her, she's sworn off it. She's now saying, you know, that's my past. I'm not going to, I'm going a different direction.
I'm with Jesus now.
Right. Right.
Yeah, oh, great. Thanks a lot. By the way, nothing personifies or nothing represents what it was like in my window and what should have been my prime time better than James Bond being played by Timothy Dalton and literally taking only one lover. That's the only James Bond era. Well, because it sends a bad message if he's taking multiple lovers. You know, he's spreading HIV around otherwise. That is what represents that's my reality. Anyway, so San Diego Superchargers, a strong song right there, very chipsy. Now give us the Redskins, because this was also right in the middle of the 80s, the Hogs and all that.
Oh, the Hogs, yeah.
John Riggins. That's weird to think he was the biggest star in the NFL.
The Diesel. This is another one of those sort of generic templates where you could graft.
I can see, yeah.
I play Pop Warner football for the Sun Valley Falcons. You can put anything to it. That's why it's my problem with P. Diddy and sampling and rap.
I feel like, I don't know where DC comes down. I feel like there's something about those deeper drums you hear and stuff that make me sound vaguely patriotic. You could hear it being about the country.
I like this stuff because it reminds me of sort of Norman Rockwell.
Right.
And that's fine.
And so that suits our nation's capital. And I think the Bears one is very Big Ten friendly. And the San Diego Superchargers has something very Southern California about it. You want the one that is most regionally specific, though. Look no further, Ace, than my beloved Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, boy.
Take it away, Steeler Polka. This is a real song.
Oh, yeah.
No. They would do this in the stadium before playoff games. The guy would come out and sing
Super Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I remember this.
Dun, 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 dun. We're from the town with the Super Bowl team. Ba-da-da-da, go out and get them Steelers.
We proved to the world that we have the best team.
Jimmy, can you look up his name?
He's got an accent.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Super Steelers. It's been many years in
so keep the Steelers machinery humming. That's a polka, Ace. We're Eastern European.
Defense, take the football, intercept that ball.
Intercept the ball. He's encouraging them to intercept it.
Here's my problem with this song.
No! I'm not going to hear any. It's not about your team. That's the only problem you could have.
When this guy was done recording this, he went right back to his home and turned on the soccer game and sat there and watched the entire soccer game.
You're just bitter. Nolan Cromwell, Vince Ferragamo, throw a touchdown pass. You would like it then. But yeah. Now you don't like it. You're bitter because it brings back bad memories for you.
Yeah.
He would come out. What's his name, Gary? Jimmy?
Says it was written by Roger Wood.
Don't worry about Roger Wood writing it. Jimmy something or other would
say.
This
doesn't say. I'm still looking.
There's a video. He would come
Jimmy
out.
Jimmy Pohl.
Jimmy Pohl. Well, that makes sense. He would come out on the bed of a pickup truck before the game.
Yeah.
This is true. He'd be standing up there in his overcoat and his earmuffs and stuff, and he would have a terrible towel, and he would sing this before a playoff game, and 55,000 people would be in there waving their towel, and then they would introduce the Steelers, and Lynn Swann would come out double-barrel terrible towels before a playoff game. Think about that.
That's
how great
amazing.
That was. Eh?
What a childhood.
Then across the sideline, then there's the cowboy-hatted, cowboy-booted Bum Phillips trying to get in our way. Not gonna have it, sir! No disrespect to you, but we have a meeting with destiny. All right, let's cut it off there. You know what? We didn't even get through them all yet, but maybe we'll wrap it all up.
I think
up.
We did get through them.
Oh, I guess I can read between the lines there, can't I? All right, we'll see where we go on tomorrow's Good Sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Podcast One Sports, out. Good Sports.
Do you want to be great at reading body language, developing persuasion and influence, as well as master rapport and social interaction? What if I told you that you would learn from top performers like NBA superstar Shaquille O'Neal, former CIA director Michael Hayden, and brilliant thinkers like Dirty Jobs' Mike Rowe? Take a minute right now and subscribe to the Art of Charm podcast with me, Jordan Harbinger, and you'll hear how I pull out the secret psychology, life experience, and wisdom that can only be learned from them. You'll hear Shaq talk about how to manage your career and how to know who to trust when everyone's out to get something from you. You'll discover how to think critically from Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson, and even how Tony Hawk's life as a skateboard icon will influence how you think about your career and relationships in a whole new way. This show is for you if you want to outcompete, outperform, and outthink everyone around you, and it's the only place you'll get practical, applicable strategies from every single episode. Since you're all about learning from the absolute best, download and subscribe for free right now and upgrade your brain 4 times a week at podcastone.com or in the Podcast One app.
And now Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Jacksonville, Florida. A 38-year-old man sat on a gun in the driver's seat of his car and accidentally shot himself in the penis. Definitely not a Jew.
Christina P. in studio. Mother Inferior is the name of the Netflix special. It is available now on Netflix. We'll give some dates and things like that. Website, ChristinaPOnline.com. Good to see you, Christina.
I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you because you grew up in Woodland Hills in the San Fernando Valley. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, I know. Believe
and you
me.
Have the Hungarian
not the same
parents.
Valley, not the same valley.
It's not the same valley that it was.
I love that you had Hungarian parents because of my beloved grandfather, Laszlo.
Ah, Laszlo.
And he had Bela and Bougie and Gabi. Like crazy. It's such a crazy language.
I have a Chongor in my family too. Istvan. Like these are just terrible.
What are the parents' names?
My parents are Arpad and Edith. And then my middle name was Edith, and I changed that.
Arpad?
Yeah.
Wow.
It doesn't translate to anything.
Me and my cousin K-Pak.
That was Kevin Spacey. Timely. Was that Spacey?
Yeah. K-Pax.
K-Pax. K-Pax.
Yeah.
Not a terrible movie.
So you, now I heard from Dylan that you were making chicken paprikash today.
Yes, I did this morning, and had I known that you like it,
my
it's
God.
His favorite. Oh, come on.
I love it.
I
love
it. I brought it for you.
So do you cook Hungarian?
Of course.
Oh,
you and your goulash can come back anytime.
You're always welcome. Right. Do you cook it too, or you just eat it?
I basically... Well, there used to be a place called Laszlo's Hortobágyi.
Again, I grew up going there, and then it shut down.
Yeah. There's math that I can never do, which is it shut down, and in its place was an Indian food joint. There are so many Indian food joints, and I like Indian food, but it's arguably more exotic than the potatoes and the beef and the sauerkraut and all the stuff that you get, the stuffed peppers and all that, and then the stuffed cabbage and all that. It's such stick to your ribs kind of. I don't know why there's no place for that in the entire San Fernando Valley.
We got a couple of Hungarian power hitters here, Hungarian heavy hitters, if you will. Why don't you guys reopen the Hortobágyi?
The Hortobágyi. Hortobágyi. That's gone. But now there's this place, well, it's always been there. Have you been to Otto's?
No.
In Burbank? That's where you go get your sausages.
Yeah, I've heard you can go get the Legos and go home and build your castle. But I want to eat someone's castle.
Give
and
me
then
a spoon.
Pay them and leave. Yeah, I got my nanny coached up on how to make chicken paprikash and goulash, and I got her all worked up on that.
And so. Coming from a Guatemalan background, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah.
Oh, mine's Guatemalan too, aren't that's perfect.
She's doing no kettle and the whole nine yards.
No kettle. That's the hard one. I just do pasta. I'm a bit of an imposter.
All right. I don't want to be a snob here, but I've done this myself. Everybody do this. Please do this. You take an egg, you take a little bit of water, and you take flour, and you just whip it up until it's essentially batter, until it's sort of like a slightly thickish
glue.
Batter, just like pancake batter.
Yes.
Then you get the trough and the big bore grater, and you put it on top of the boiling water, and you pour it into this thing, and just move it back and forth. Yeah. And the little bits, size of like a little like clamp on earrings, little like half a milk dud or something, just fall into the pot, and when they're cooked, they float to the top, and then you just skim them off with a strainer and put them. And when you dump the juice over that, when you're dumping the chicken paprikash or whatever the gravy is over the top, it's the best.
Man, when I went to Hungary when I was 14 years old, I ate chicken paprikash every day for like a month, and I would alternate between that and tiltot kapusta, which is like the stuffed cabbage. You down with that one?
Yeah.
That
man. And Grandpa used to do a lot of layered stuff in a kettle too.
Yeah.
With a lot of they do one layer
we'll leave you guys.
One layer of kraut, then there'd be a bunch of cut up kielbasa and like some cheese
one.
And stuff,
like
and then
Hungarian
another layer
lasagna.
Of
yeah,
the
I do
best,
that one too.
The best.
When we were in Chicago, we went to that Hungarian place. I got the stuffed cabbage. First time in my life. It was the greatest thing I've ever had ever.
Can I tell you
and
something?
I thought it was going to be the light option.
And I've had relatives in Hungary live to be, 90 years old, not exercise a day in their life. I had an uncle who drove a cab, and they eat nothing but kolbas every day and drink like a liter of vodka. I think it's, we're genetically cockroaches.
My grandfather was a full-blown junkie. He had unprotected gay sex almost every day of his life. The thing, his biggest complaint with the glory holes, he couldn't drink the vodka and have his nose against the stall wall.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he wanted to do a glory hole where it cut out so he could get his vodka bottle. Man lived in 94 years of age.
God died doing what he loved.
Died doing what he loves, banging a stranger in the ass. That's right.
Yeah, my dad hasn't had a vegetable in his entire life. Like, I'll go over there, and he'll just have horseradish.
I love it.
Ground up on a paper plate.
That's a root.
Horseradish on a paper plate, beer, and then cold cuts.
That's great.
That's some weird
organ part from a duck that's smeared on something.
That's the other thing, too.
That's a goose liver.
They love all the weird parts and things like that.
Libamai, that's the goose liver, and you spread that.
My grandfather was... The idea that it was illegal to fatten geese up with he was incensed by this whole thing. They're geese, they're goose, they're guy. Why not? All right, hey, should we listen? Let's listen to a funny clip from a Christina special that we have. Mother Inferior again. Where'd you shoot this?
In Seattle at the Showbox Theater.
It's beautiful.
It really is. They did a good job.
God, they did a nice job. Yeah, it's on Netflix now, but we'll play a little 56-second clip.
Offended by things Justin Bieber tweets? Who I love. I love Justin Bieber. He is so pretty. He is growing into a lovely Hillary Swank. I adore him.
It is true.
Yeah, he's pretty.
But he's not offensive. Come on, man. Come on. I mean, I grew up in an era with a bad bitch named Madonna. Yes, now Madonna, in the Like a Prayer video, was burning crosses and French kissing black Jesus. Whoa, now that's offensive. Especially because we all know Jesus is wide right up top, my man.
This guy hops up reflexively. High fives her.
Yeah, there you go.
I love it.
Yeah.
So again, available as we speak on Netflix. And then the podcast, Your Mom's House, is the name of the podcast. Mm-hmm. You do it with Tom Segura, your husband.
Yes. Yeah. I've been married for, 9 years now?
Cool. Married to a comedian. How is that?
actually.
You should ask him.
Actually really good. We've been together for 12 years total, and I can't imagine being married to a civilian because he and I just talk so much shit to each other, and we fight differently. And we can be
really more clever.
I don't know about that, but it's definitely more open. You know what I mean? You can be like, oh, you're such a piece of shit right now. And then we don't take it so personally, you know?
Yeah.
Is your wife, she's not in show business, right?
No, she isn't. I mean, she is kind of. She does a podcast. She knows me. Those are showbiz-esque moves, you know what I mean? Yeah, but no, I don't have much, I do a lot of complaining, and then I do a lot of complaining and planning, but I don't do a lot of, let me try this joke out.
Oh, no, we don't do that. That's appalling. I mean, nobody wants to be with a comedian that's like, you know, shucky ducking all the time.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's horrible, but you know, we're just more open, I think.
Yeah. And then is there a competition? I don't think there is. But what I'm saying is it's always kind of weird when somebody gets a special and somebody didn't get a special or somebody gets a TV show or whatever it is. I mean, there's that element, right?
Well, I mean, I think because Tom and I started at the same time and we've both been open micers and we've both done the road and come up the hard way. And I think it helps that Tom's more successful than me, honestly. I just think it helps the balance of the marriage. I know that's not very PC to say, but
plus the money all goes into the same pot.
That's what we say too a lot, is that it all goes in the same bank account. So like, I don't care.
Yeah, who cares where it comes from?
I like to stay home. Let him go do it.
Speaking of staying home, what's the schedule like? I'm sure he's touring a lot. You're probably out doing dates and such. Like,
yeah. We take turns because we have a 2-year-old, so we both have the same agent, and the guy just books us wisely.
It's convenient.
And I don't go out for more than like 48 hours at a time over it.
The blah, blah, blog we're going to do is a Louis C.K. special edition, and why don't we cue it up now? Well, it's pretty clear in the title, right? Okay. You just listen, Christina.
We'll hear the tweets, and you'll figure it out. It is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. It's time for Blah Blah Blog, the game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant.
Oh, no.
Let's play.
I've been friends with Louis C.K. for a long time. I read the article, and none of it is good. I'll have more to say about it on my own show, and not a shitty platform like Twitter. Is it Marc Maron? Oh. Anthony Cumia? Or Jim Norton?
Oh, wow.
Hmm. Let's see. Opie and Anthony. Mark Maron. Jim Norton.
Hey, who's the middle guy? Mike, who's that?
Anthony
from Opie and Anthony.
Okay.
All right. Feels kind of Jim Norton-y. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got a podcast. Hmm. Why would Jim be on there?
Yeah, but Jim's kind of got sexual proclivities that he's very open about.
That's
like
true.
Deviant stuff. So I think he put in like something about his peener in the tweet. You know what I mean?
Some like signifier that this is me.
Yeah. Indicator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too sterile.
He's like,
Jim.
I'm pissed that Louis didn't come enough.
Right.
Like, I'm really angry with him, but I'll explore it more on my show.
You couldn't pee on them afterwards?
Exactly.
So, I'm going to say Anthony.
Mark Maron's the only one I know is friends with Louis. I don't know about the other two, so I'm going to say Mark Maron.
Yeah, I too am saying Mark Maron. It sounded just sort of angry enough to be Mark
Maron. Self-loathing?
Yeah.
I love Mark. I'm going to go for the Anthony. I don't know him well enough, but those other two dudes I'm more familiar with.
Okay.
All right, we got two Anthonys and two Marks.
Two Marks.
Anthony, one of the greatest recording artists ever. They're even telling me that you want me. Oh, God, who's fucking that guy? Hot chicks, please stop. Yeah. Please stop rewarding him with pussy.
He's
miniature. Yeah. That I Need to Know song is a horrible, horrible, like, it's like an unflattering mock-up of a Latin song. It's horrible. He's horrible. And he just gets rewarded with money and pussy.
He's been dominating music ever since that song came out. So, by the way, we haven't heard from him since.
Yeah, but he still just gets to
be around.
He's in the check cashing business now.
Yeah, sorry.
So upsetting.
All right.
The blog belongs to Mark Maron.
Oh, no!
Damn it.
I knew it.
Damn it.
Felt strongly about that.
All right. All right, we're down one. Got to get back.
Our next tweet is in quotation marks. I finally see how deeply my actions have affected other people emotionally since they are now affecting me financially. Is it Paul F. Tompkins, David Cross, or Brian Posehn?
Ooh, good alt comics.
Yeah, I know. I like these guys a lot.
Let's see. Okay, I got an answer.
No,
I think
affecting him financially.
He's quoting Louis.
He's sort of mocking. Yeah, he's doing a mocking quote, saying like,
I'm
now
sorry.
See what I've done is wrong because I'm hurting financially.
Oh, I
it's
see.
Basically what he's.
I'm too dense. I don't think a lot about Hungarian food, to be fair to me.
Your arteries are too clogged.
Yeah. So this is a jab.
Yes, yeah, this is someone. This is someone who I'm guessing is not close friends with them.
Okay. All right.
Could be totally wrong, but it's my hunch.
All right, I'll let you guys go first.
David Cross.
Yeah, I think David.
You know, that was my initial reaction, but I think it's a little playful for him. I'm going to say Paul F. Tompkins.
But David's got that real pithy writing.
Yeah. That's true.
Paul and Prozane could very likely run into Louis at a comedy club anytime the next week. Yeah. I don't think David Cross does. I don't think David does stand up, let alone at the clubs that often.
Yeah, I don't.
So I don't think. I think he's playing a little more immunity.
Just to be different, I'll go Paul.
All right, I'm going to go Prozane just for fun.
Oh, wow.
The blog belongs to Paul F. Tompkins.
No!
Oh,
what?
I knew it.
Didn't even see that coming.
That's why you have to play the game.
Yeah, Paul's he's so friendly. I wouldn't. I wouldn't assume he would.
In the 3-piece suit, striped.
Always
he's so nice all the time.
Ticket pockets.
He should be English, right?
Yes.
Would
who guys that should be English?
Well, yep. No. Who's the smartest man in the world?
Greg Proops.
Greg Proops. He should be.
Yeah,
he's at the top of my guys who should be English leaderboard, right?
A British dandy.
Foppish.
Right.
A foppish, dandy.
Yeah. Right. He's a dandy.
The little boy Blue. Little Lord Fauntleroy.
Yes.
David Hyde Pierce. These guys should all be British.
They should all be British. That's right.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Defect.
And Led Zeppelin should be American.
Yeah.
So there.
Yeah.
Straighten that all out. And Aerosmith shouldn't be from the Boston area. It's a weird. I don't know why. It's always bugged me a little.
Yeah. Where
it's
is
not
she from?
That.
LA.
No, they're
I like
LA.
Like a LA or maybe like a Seattle, Oregon, or kind of sort of Portlandy or something.
No
I just
land.
Don't have him from Boston.
Too
it's
specific.
Weird. He's too funky. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, too funky for Boston.
But
the next album. Your next special.
The Wahlbergs are perfect.
Oh,
that, yeah. That's Boston.
They are
that's
right on
fine.
Course.
That's enough
and
Boston.
And so is Ben Affleck. That's fine, but I need Steven Tyler. I need Steve Tyler.
Send him back.
Send him back.
Matt Damon's part of that whole Boston, and he doesn't seem to fit.
To be from there.
He's a Midwest vibe.
Yeah,
yes.
He's got a little more,
Like Ohio.
Yeah. Sorry, where were we?
When women
talking about where people should be from. By the way, I'm guilty of it, too, because I get people all the time, you East Coast guys, you bring me attitude. I'm from North Hollywood. Yeah. They go, no.
You Philly Jews.
The Valley? I'm like, from the Valley. Yeah. Come on.
But where are you really from?
By way of the Bronx, right? I'm like, no, just North Hollywood. They're like, I screw people over, too.
Where did you get your attitude from? Is it the Hungarian blood that makes you angry?
I'd like to think, and here's the reason. I love Hungarian food, A, because I love Hungarian food, and then B, the sharp contrast of my mom's no food, none of the time, was horrible.
No,
so you got to understand.
K-E-T-T-L-E.
I probably, you know, if mom was home, you know, just never stopped barbecuing and making, you know, rump roast. And then grandpa was down the street and we had to compete with the goulash versus the steaks. I might not feel as strongly, but my mom did nothing and had no food, and my dad had no food and did nothing, and then there was Laszlo Gorog and his kettle.
Who was providing for you.
Right. So that made a big difference, but I still love it. All right. Sorry, where were we? Oh, I don't know where I got my attitude.
When women speak, don't sensationalize it and make it about naming the man. Our stories run deeper. It's our culture that damns us if we do or don't, or shames us if we have made peace. It's time to listen to how women want this to be talked about. The end.
Well said.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Is it Lena Dunham?
Lena Dunham.
Jen Kirkman. Or Judy Gold?
Oh man, this is a tough one.
Tough.
God damn it.
I still don't know Jen Kirkman. She does the...
comic.
Well, here's the thing. Now, I saw what she tweeted, and it wasn't that.
Sweet.
So, I feel like it has the annoyance of
how do you
Lena
know,
Dunham.
Yeah, how do you know what... How do you know all of her tweets, though, right?
I don't know all of them, but I feel like I know her lane, and her lane, her angle was more like, hey, well, I have an idea. How about we let a woman host a late-night talk show for one night? Mm-hmm. Like that, I think, you know, she's always pretty smart about angling in her favor. So
my knee jerk with the Lena Dunhams of the world are not, has nothing to do with them being funny or unfunny. I hate when we anoint measuring sticks of funny, like, hey, here's the new person that you have to sort of pass all funny through because they'll decide whether it's funny or not.
She's no Lena Dunham.
There's a few dudes will do it, and a few chicks will do it, and they just get anointed and they're fine, and then they start straying into a lot of political statements and things like that, and then they start, as the new kings and queens of comedy, they get to start deciding what you get to say and how this is going to work, and it's like, wait a minute, 24-year-old gal who's moderately funny, you don't get to be the new queen of funny or whatever it is, and the shows, you know, then the shows go from being funny to being kind of preachy, and they're not really comedy anymore, and it's weird to cover all that ground in your 20s, you know?
Yeah.
All right. It'd be funny if The Man Show did that. Like on season 4, we just got really preachy about
that'd be amazing.
About men.
About men. Testicular cancer. You know,
society.
It's not funny. Hi, man. I'm Carl. The Man Show. I like to make people laugh for a living. You know what's not funny? Testicular cancer. And then we just do a whole show. And we wear ribbons and things like that. And we announce it's not okay to joke about these things.
That's finish with a solemn ziggy zoggy? Ziggy zoggy. Ziggy zoggy.
Oi, oi, oi. All right.
I have a feeling about this one.
Yeah.
Judy, I'm going Judy. It's Judy Gold, right?
Yeah. I'm going to say sometimes the obvious one is the obvious one for a reason. I'm saying Lena Dunham.
See, I think the younger women are all about naming names and putting it out there. And I think Judy Gold might be taking that approach of, you know what, let women do what they feel is right for them. So I'm going to say Judy as well.
Yeah, it sounded not as the Lena Dunham tweet, you know, I don't feel the way, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel as yucky. I'm going to go for Judy, too.
All right. Gold. Judy Tenuta. It is.
Judy Tenuta. It is.
The blog belongs to Jen Kirkman.
Wow! Christina.
Sorry, I don't know what's going on.
We took the wrong trail.
Oh, my goodness.
Can't trust the Hungarians. That's one thing. And my grandfather's Hungarian. He'd tell you as much. I like the people that turn on their own, and then they'll just tell you, I know this black guy, yeah? Says you can't trust black people. Well, there you go.
In that case,
moving on.
I knew it.
I like that you can talk to one guy. All you need is one guy from Poland to tell you not to trust Polish people, and you go, well, there it is.
Fear's confirmed.
Yeah, my dad always told me not to trust Hungarians.
He did?
Yeah. Hates them. I'm like, what? Okay.
Well, they fled, right?
Yeah, they were out. 1969. They were like deuces. Moved to Canada. Yeah.
Yeah. They got to. I think if you flee, you have more contempt from the folks you fled from. In terms of the personality.
Yeah, you left.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We a winner?
I think we do. I don't know. Who's winning? I don't have any.
Gina's got two. Brian's got one. You and Jen, or you and Christina, rather, are still looking for.
All right, let's see if we can get on the board here.
Wow, I guess nothing will ever surprise me again regarding men. Is it Natasha Leggero?
Well, that's it.
That's it.
Rosie O'Donnell. Oh. Or Eliza Schlesinger.
Ooh.
Oh, jeez.
Jeez. Mm.
Rosie's pretty angry.
Natasha's funnier. I feel like she'd go funny.
Feels like this is just a sort of statement to put out there so you can be like, when people do this, I don't know. Like, I think there's this new thing going on where everyone, there's going to be like a rapture. And it's going to be.
Go on. Do you have a date?
Yes. There is going to be like an atheist rapture or an agnostic rapture. And how the rapture is going to work is not did you believe or lead a righteous life, but did you make a comment
after this?
When Cecil the Lion was shot, did you say it was a tragedy and that no lion deserves to be shot, or did you just watch more TV? And if you made a comment, as long as we can check the computer and check the record, and you made a comment that you don't like rape or you don't like Cecil getting shot or whatever, they bash that poor gay college dude. Like, as long as you're on record for saying that's bad, then we get to move on.
Yeah, and how brave of you to agree with the consensus.
Right.
Yeah.
Although, I'll tell you what we'll do insanely. We'll carve out terrorist attacks. You don't really have to comment on those. But if someone beats off in front of somebody else, that we need you to weigh in on. If a baker's dozens of guys are killed because somebody plows a truck on a bridge, neither here nor there. We don't need that part. But if someone gets beat off in front of, that we need to know. And then we'll just walk around. There'll be a rapture and you'll go up or you'll stay down with Corolla.
Right. Why do we have to tweet?
I don't know why. It's literally like some Gestapo guy is going to show up with a clipboard and go, it says here that you didn't win.
Yeah. Cut to the pearly gates of the atheist rapture, and it's St. Peter, or no, it's Albert Einstein. It's not St. Peter. He's looking at the Book of Life. It's like, looks like you didn't pile on here when the Charlie Sheen news broke that you raped Corey Haim.
Right. And it's like,
you were busy that day.
So you endorse raping male children's stars?
Well, let's just look at my iPad here and see what you were doing that
day.
Gonna
get awful hot where you're going.
Right. Or the Vegas shooting happened and you didn't put some kind of solidarity thing on
your
Instagram?
Thoughts and prayers? I mean, a thought or a prayer?
You tweeted a frowny face, but it looks like you burned your toast right before that. So,
it's going to be an atheist rapture and everyone has to they have to be logged on. Like, it's almost like when you'd punch into your job, like just punch, you know, just let it timestamp it. Let them know that whenever this Weinstein or Cecil or the Vegas shooting, whenever all of this or any of it went down, go ahead and check. I disagree.
Smart.
There we go. Hero.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. Oh, now who do we pick?
Can you say it again, Dawson?
Is it? Yes. Wow. I guess nothing will ever surprise me again regarding men.
Ooh.
I'm going to go Eliza.
I am too.
Eliza Schlesinger, Rosie O'Donnell, or Natasha Leggero.
I'm going to Eliza too.
Oh, man. I very much wanted to do that, but I'll go Rosie.
You know, Christina's like she's like a shaman with this stuff. She's like somewhere between a divining rod and a shaman. Like, she knows all.
But I'm not right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm terrible.
Yeah, I'm making a joke. You don't know anything.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you suck at this.
Couldn't tell. Right. Sorry.
Go ahead, Dawson.
The blog belongs to Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh!
For the win.
Damn it.
All right, Gina, you take home the
non-trophy.
The non-trophy.
That's why I'm out of...
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blah.
All right, why don't you get the news ready? No. I'll tell you guys about Tommy John, man. Oh, summer. It is out, but the sweat, that ain't going to stop. Fortunately, we got a little something called Tommy John to put an end to the sticky situations downstairs there. 21st century men's underwear, iSwitch, it's ultra light, breathable fabrics. They move with you, not against you. They just are the best. No riding up ever. Impossible to get a wedgie. Plus, the time-saving horizontal quick draw fly, just the best. Socks that stay up all day. Patented undershirts that never come untucked. You'll never go back to whatever it is you're currently wearing unless you're wearing Tommy John, and then you just go get more. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Tommy John, no adjustment needed, just the best. And once you go Tommy John, you'll just never go back to whatever it is you're doing because it just doesn't make any sense anymore. It's Tommy John, Dawson.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, a little news, shall we?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, a new study suggests that women are less likely than men to get CPR from a bystander and more likely to die. And researchers think the reluctance is to because people are afraid to touch a woman's chest, especially if it's a stranger.
Oh.
ABC News reports that only 39% of women suffering cardiac arrest in a public place were given CPR versus 45% of men. And men were 23% more likely to survive. It involved nearly 20,000 cases around the country and is the first to examine gender differences in receiving heart help from the public versus professional responders.
Women do more swooning than dudes.
like looking for their
face. I just saw one of the Beatles.
Catch me.
You know, could have saw Ringo at the Pottery Barn or something. I think when a dude hits the deck, we assume
he's dead.
That he's pretty fucked up. And women, again, you could have just saw some soap star or something, you know? You guys.
Josh Duhamel.
Some housewife.
Yeah,
you just swoon.
It has nothing
swooning.
To do with not wanting to touch a stranger's breast.
No, we're like, yeah, just let her bring their bag. She'll be fine. Well, where's Duhamel?
I know blaming the lawyers is not the freshest take, but I do blame the lawyers a little bit for this because I remember when I needed to get CPR certified when I coached high school football, and I remember them saying it wasn't specifically for football. They said in general, if you're giving CPR, you need to. This sounds insane, but if the person's out unconscious, you have to ask permission to either stand or by or whatever. Like, is it okay if I...
Why do they get to choose?
I don't know, because apparently there's some legal thing where you can get sued if you jump on someone's short-term CPR and, like, crack a rib. Because you're supposed to be pretty hard.
I speak for that stranger. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That makes no sense.
Well,
no,
so oftentimes it's someone with them or whatever, but like you're supposed to... I agree. It's ridiculous, but I think it's been hammered into all of us so much.
Absolutely.
Not just that, but, like, watch out. You're going to get sued. But don't jump in. Don't interfere.
Hell no. Someone's dying on the side of the road. I'm going to keep on driving, man. I'm not getting sued.
Yeah,
this is the problem.
I'd like to give permission to please rip my shirt open and start chest compressions.
Yeah. It's unintended consequences. I think it's going to be a little bit like they're looking at a lot of statistics now about a lot of cops not wanting to get involved in a lot of minority communities and get out of the car and get into it with people, and crime and murder and things are going up. It's unintended consequences. You sue everybody, you film everybody, you bust everybody, and they just start walking the other direction and looking down. Like, at a certain point, whether you're a citizen or a cop, it's sort of you first and then whomever. Yeah. And you think, well, you shouldn't be that way, but this is how everyone's wired now. And with all these stories, I mean, you mix all the lawyers, and now you mix up all the sort of sexual harassment stuff. He put his hands on me and all this that. You take that, and everyone wants sort of everyone. It's like recycling. I think people will recycle if you give them a blue can and you give them a brown can, you go throw it in there. But if you go, you got to bundle your stuff up and then you got to take it down the street. They
too
go,
much,
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm
too
out.
Much work.
So I'll do the right thing as long as it's easy and there's no repercussions.
Yes.
But if I think I'm going to get sued or whatever it is, I'm just going to walk.
Absolutely.
And cops will do the right thing. But if they think they're going to get filmed and sued and whatever,
worse,
they'll just stay in their car
or
worse. So they just go, screw it. And that's. You don't have to make a proclamation. You just go, this is where we're heading, and you'll get everyone to basically do that.
Yeah. And plus, do you want to put your mouth on some stranger's mouth?
No. I mean,
that's
let's,
the worst
no.
part.
Yeah. I mean, if she's hot and she, like, had, you know, like, there was a like Victoria's Secret model, and her heart was, like, too hot. You know what I mean? And she had, like, a murmur or
then
something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but no, not like one of my mom's friends or something. No, that'd be weird.
Nope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Washington Post reports that apparently, and this is, the Hungarians in the room are not going to be able to deal with this.
Okay.
We are not eating leftovers anymore. Americans throw away 27 million tons of food every year.
Angry.
Yep, I know.
Angry.
23% of that
dog and a baby. I'll solve your problem right away.
23% of that food is still edible leftovers. In fact, according to a new study by the Natural Resource Defense Council, leftovers are the biggest source of edible food waste in American homes. I love leftovers.
It's insane.
Already cooked.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Thank God. Yeah, you got to have a kid. Mm-hmm. You got to have a dog. And if you have an Armenian dude named Sean who won't get fat at the other shop, because everyone else is like, I'm off the carbs. Like, Sean, I have a bucket of rice that's left over from the Chinese. I'll take it. He was walking from the... So my biggest thing is I got food everywhere, and I'm funneling it to people. Yeah. Like, I'm pushing it at people. I'm taking it from here to the other shop and giving it to other guys because these guys won't eat whatever. Sean was walking out of the kitchen. Everyone else is on the low-carb thing, and I got buckets of rice, and he's walking out of the kitchen today. He's eating lunch. And I say, what do you got there, Sean? And he goes, you're going to like this. I brought spaghetti. I just put rice on top of it.
Oh, my God.
Vinny, that's like, clutched his heart like Fred Sanford somewhere. But, look, he's one of these guys who just doesn't get fat. He's, like, on his feet working all day. He's got that little guy metabolism, and he just doesn't. So I have to keep shoving it.
That's crazy.
It drives me insane. I don't know why we don't focus on that. It's the ugliest an American or any culture can be is throwing away food.
Absolutely.
You can say you judge a culture by how they treat their prisoners or whatever. I think it's how much food you throw away. That's the ugliest thing you could do. All the effort, all the resources, all the money into growing a tomato or making bird. It's even weirder when it's meat to me because like something died and now you're chucking it. It drives me insane.
We can do a don't chuck the chuck campaign.
Yeah, like Chuck.
Yeah, like Chuck Roast.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Here's the problem.
Let's squash it.
We do way more eating out than we ever did. Eating out was like a big time treat. It was a big treat when I was a kid, and now it's commonplace. They just do it. My kids will go out to eat three or four nights in
a row.
Now
we get tired of eating out.
Yeah. Right. And every single place they go out to eat, and they get the club sandwich, they eat two of them, and there's one club.
Right.
Left. And I'm nuts about bring it home. Don't throw it away. Yeah. Bring it home. Nothing to do with money. All about bringing it home. But if you do that three nights in a row and you work a few lunches in there, you'll start accumulating stuff fast. Yes.
I got a movie recommendation for everyone on this topic. There's a good documentary streaming on Amazon. If you have a Prime membership, you can watch it for free. It's called Just Eat It. It's a food waste documentary called Just Eat It. And it's this couple that for 30 days decided we're only going to eat secondhand food, food that's left over, food that's discarded, stuff that's expired. And they also examine how much food is wasted in America because expiration dates and certain things are best by.
Does it
sell
follow
by.
Up with their botulism?
No, it does. And ends with their funeral.
Okay.
But it's on Amazon. It's all about this called Just Eat
Have you
It.
Heard of these freegan people that go dumpster diving?
Love
that.
They do that.
Yeah.
They do that.
Oh, that's so nasty.
Well, I ate Chinese food. Went to, let's see, where's Joe Coy work?
Yoji
Shopping.
What does he own?
No.
Where do you clock
No, I didn't. No, Chinese food.
Oh, Panda Express?
Yeah, P.F. Chang's. Thanks,
P.F. Chang's. I love P.F. Chang's.
Your fountain of information. P.F. Chang's, yes.
Yeah, his not helpful identity.
Yes, I was walking.
Where does Joe Coy work?
Well, Chinese food. Joe Coy works there. So I had it yesterday, and when we were done watching football, I walked into the kitchen, and there was some chicken, like Kung Pao chicken, that had been dumped just into a bare trash can, like no liner or whatever, reach right on down, ate it right off the goddamn bottom.
Hero.
The goddamn right I do.
Hero.
You goddamn right I do. It's all I do, all day, every day.
Savage.
Don't care. Never get sick. Max Pat is with me on this one.
I can't believe it. Eat shrimp tails,
people.
I can't believe you found something more revolting than scooping up the dirty ice water from the cooler into a cup and drinking it.
I don't know. Here's what I do with that. If there's a party and there's a cooler and it's got a bunch of beers floating in it and Diet Cokes and stuff like that, if I need ice for my drink, I just reach my hand into that and dump the ice. Like I'll screed off
really
the ice
filthy,
and dump it in there. That's my move all day, every day. I have is these moves. I can't stand the waste. Yeah. It drives me nuts that more people aren't driven nuts. Like I see people all the time just like scooping just half a pork chop and some rice and beans or whatever, just right into the garbage. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Are you doing?
Like, I'm done.
I'm the same way. And Gary, you could double check this, but wasn't there a story, I think last year, that France has made it illegal for grocery stores to throw away perfectly good food, which I believe is now a law. And TCU, Texas Christian, I think it's Texas Christian, they now have a program where all of their game day food and their dining hall food all goes to homeless shelters. So
that's nice.
Hopefully more people will get on board with this.
Well, It's this thing. It's like what I talk about with traffic. Like, we could build more lanes and put a second story on the 405 and do it, all that. Or people could get their heads out of their asses and drive. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't cost a penny. Just simply wake up.
Get like your
just,
shit together.
Yeah, right. Just get it together. Like, turn right on a red. What are you doing? Let's go. Let's get going. Let's get going. It's the same thing with food. It's not like, well, we have so many homeless people and hungry people. We need to produce. We don't need to produce more anything. Just stop chucking. Yeah. How much? What percentage do we chuck?
It's total 27 million tons. 23% of that is leftovers. So if someone wants to do the math on that, 23%.
Right. But what I'm saying is are we tossing a quarter of our food or 23% of our stuff in the garbage? It's easy to do.
Yeah, easily.
Drives me nuts.
A documentary again title.
Just eat it! That's right. Oh, man. Olga's awesome, man. Just eat it! Olga, like, sniffing things. That's our favorite thing to do. There'd be something in the fridge for, like, 2 weeks, and she'd be like, I can eat it.
Oh, yeah, eat challenge. It.
She'll even reboil, like, chicken and stuff to, like, kill the germs and bring it back to life.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
Reanimate it?
I love it. Just hate the waste.
Well,
yes.
I don't know if you're going to want seconds of this or leftovers, but a restaurant in Chicago is serving up a modern twist on Thanksgiving and hopefully warning people in advance, Adam, as you hope they do when they do their take on something.
Yes.
This dish is clear pumpkin pie.
Oh, boy.
We'll have a picture for you. Yahoo News reports that chefs at Alinea created a slice of pie without its traditional orange pigment for the restaurant's 20-course fall tasting menu.
Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah. Simon, the first part.
Simon Davies, chef de cuisine at the 3-star Michelin restaurant, posted a video on Instagram of a small translucent slice of pie with the hashtag surrealism. Davies listed off the ingredients used in the pie. It's very hard to see, but it is clear. Here's the ingredients. Pumpkins from an organic farm 20 miles outside of Chicago. Cinnamon, clove,
so
ginger
is this beyond
powder.
My 25-mile pumpkin pie limit?
Yeah, I'm going to need a long tape measure.
That's
and
right.
Ginger powder that he said are distilled down to create the crystal clear filling. While Davies did not explicitly explain his technique, he did say the filling is slightly gelled.
That's Jello.
Yeah, it's
clear Jello.
It's gelatin.
It's unnecessary. It doesn't work good, though, right?
Insanely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Pumpkin pie is the best. It is the least in need of a makeover or any kind of modification at all. It's good warm. It's good cold. It's good the next day. It's good with ice cream. It's good with whipped cream. It's just good. Yes. We're never Hardy. Moving on. Never touched that.
Who is this communist?
And fresh off the topic of throwing away stuff that's not fresh, the pumpkin pie can sit in a refrigerator uncovered for like 10 days. No problem. No problem.
You're right. Doesn't get crusty. It's perfect.
No.
Well, a new survey has revealed that nearly half the people in America will be doing their Christmas shopping this year on the toilet, according to Moneyish.com. Mm. According to the 2017 PayPal Money Habits Survey, 80% of Americans plan to shop from their mobile device this season. 46 said they'll be shopping while going to the bathroom. That is a 24% increase from last year of people admitting it.
I do that every day of my life.
Welcome, everyone, to our side of the fence.
Yeah, that's all I do. I order groceries on the toilet, napkins. I don't leave the house for any of that.
So the toilet, I'm trying to figure this out, because my feeling on the toilet is normally just wasted time. Like, I never read.
Wow.
I don't read. So formerly, the toilet was just downtime.
You wanted it to hurry up.
Yeah, literally downtime. So my move is I'm off and on is like whack-a-mole. Just boom down and pop right up again, and I'm gone. But a lot of people really hunker down.
Yeah.
I feel like that if you get in the habit of just planting it on the toilet, just getting down. Now, look, some people have issues, and those issues are going to make you spend more time on the toilet. But if you treat the toilet like you can go, if you go toilet and shower. Yeah. If you go, like, there's some
That's
people just,
do.
They go, I take a hot shower and I just hang my head down. Right. I just let the water run in. I spend 20 minutes, half hour in there just with the hot shower. You do the hot shower move where you're not in there to shower off or get clean or whatever. You're in there to hang.
Right, to be in the
womb. And you're on the toilet not to take a shit, but to take a shit and get some reading done or some holiday shopping or whatever. At the end of your life, you could have spent quite a significant amount of time sitting on the toilet or standing in the shower, and it's hard to get too much done. Now they have devices, and you can.
Yeah.
But my training is on the toilet, off the toilet as fast as I can, and in the shower, out the shower as fast as I can.
Wow. That's where I do my thinking.
My first thought was, you had little kids running around at one point. Can't you? It was not a great way to get away from them. Then my second thought was, oh, no, you had a nanny who chased them around for you.
Yeah.
When you have the little kid and not the nanny, it is a great place to get 8 minutes of, I need to get some stuff done, whether it's I need to whatever.
On the
whatever.
Toilet.
Yes. Yeah, we got the phone. I'm not just getting one thing done. I feel like
I'd screw something up and send a dick pic to my mom or something if I'm sitting
sometimes.
With my phone on
sometimes.
The toilet.
Yeah. It's a cost of doing business, man.
Yeah, just, I feel like I'd screw that up somehow. Yeah. Somehow my phone's going to know.
It's remarkably efficient. Didn't Kimmel back in the day used to bring his laptop in there, his corded laptop?
He's pretty famous for spending quite a bit of time on the toilet. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I got to check his bowel schedule now.
Now, Adam, do you have a bidet situation, or are you just mashing that poo into your fur, just rubbing it?
Oh, man. my thing is I will time the
I'll time
the toilet with the shower, so you know.
Oh, you go shit the shower.
Shit the shower.
Yeah.
I've done that too. But you do a wipe before you go shower, right? You don't.
I surprise myself. Yeah. You know, I like to keep it fresh.
It depends on certain factors.
If I am staring at, if I'm literally just going to step off the commode and into the shower, I'll save the paper. That's my move.
That is bold.
That's my move.
You don't shower with soap.
Yeah. No, I don't shower. Oh, no. I'll get
he
back.
He goes right in the pool.
I go dunk myself in the pool.
There's jets in there.
I'll give a hot water, good hot water rinse down there. Mm. Yeah, good hot water rinse.
Not even an exploratory wipe?
To see what happens?
I get it. I get it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like I've been there and done that. You know, it's not my first ass rodeo. I just fall off the ass turnip truck or whatever else
gotcha.
We could
so
put
you,
ass in front of.
You know what you're working with.
Yeah, I know what I'm working with. And I have, so I'm wired for efficiency.
Yeah.
And my feeling is if I, not for money, for efficiency, if I peel off 4 or 5 sheets of toilet paper and use it and flush it down the toilet and then step into a hot shower, mm-hmm. which is not a hot shower for me, but it will turn into a hot shower at some point because I start with a cold. If I do that, I'm wasting the toilet paper. That's how my mind works.
Unbelievable. It's a little Howard Hughes-y.
No, it's that immigrant mentality, dude. Yeah. He's got the communist genes.
Oh, shots fired.
That's your Laszlo right there.
Yeah.
But, Laszlo is very much that way, but I will have no problem wasting money on many things. I don't have the cheap genes.
So you
I have
treat
the waste.
Yourself to other things in life.
Like, just not 2-ply toilet paper.
I don't. So the way I'm wired is I could never travel Uber X. I have to just travel Uber.
I totally have that
too. Never, ever. Like, if it's from
my God, it's exciting.
Lynette didn't know you could.
Ace,
they had the other one.
I think
by the way,
have
my
that
wife.
Backwards.
Was,
yeah, you. You're thinking of Uber X is the cheap one.
Oh, Uber X is the cheap
one. Uber Black or
Black?
Uber Black.
Uber Black.
Uber Select.
Sorry. I could never, ever, ever just go, I'm going to pay an extra $28 to go from my house to the airport. I'm going to do in a Denali or something nice. I would never, ever do that. But I could buy a $4.8 million car.
Right. Oh, so, okay. A Lamborghini?
As a Porsche. But yeah, I could spend an insane amount of money on a car or something else. That makes sense to me. Okay. Somehow it's something and I'll have it.
Yeah.
And when I get to the airport, as soon as I step out of the Denali, it's gone. Mm-hmm. Somehow, my mind.
Someone else's.
And I'm not worth it anyway. Like, what do I care?
That's really about me.
Who cares? Yeah. I'm not anything. Like, I don't deserve any of that stuff. So that's the way I work.
That's a good core feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. You deserve nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You deserve shit something.
Right.
I'm nothing.
Gotcha.
I deserve nothing.
Good book chapter.
Yeah.
Have you been in therapy? Have you done it?
I have. I don't feel badly about myself. I just have things that I want to do and then things that are just not worth it. Like for me, like I grew up in an insane way, just sort of like sleeping on the floor and no heat, no air, and just like weird stuff. And I just got used to everything. So I have this tolerance level for everything or nothing. Like it doesn't matter. But I like to fly private jet and then I'll fly Southwest. Like it doesn't, it matters in that if I had a choice, I'd do it. But if it's me, I'll just take the cheapest.
He'll default to
every time.
That's so true. Yeah. My husband has to force me to be like a normal person. Because I had this, when we met, I was watching the same TV I had since I was 12 years old. Like a 1988 Toshiba. Like part of it was black and white because it had fallen during the earthquake. Yeah. And he's like, you know you can get a new TV. I'm like, what? Why? This one still works. Like I have that mentality too.
Yeah, but is it cheapness or is it just a way you treat yourself?
Just I treat myself shitty like that. I had he had to like kind of show me how to be, how to have nice stuff and not feel weird about it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And it's that way with things like I've never had a magazine subscription my whole life
because
that's for rich people or other people or different people, not luxury. Me. That's a luxury item.
That would be a birthday present.
No. And when people start talking about
you win that at a game.
Entering joining a country club or something, I'm like, no, that's not for us. It's not about money. It's just about we're not worth that.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
I'm trying to build a super house, you know? So I have a lot of range in that department. Kind of weird.
Different priorities.
Different priorities.
My husband and I had one phone charger in the house for 2 years.
That's punishing.
Yeah. And we're like, wait a minute, you can buy more than one. We're like, oh yeah. And now we have as many as we like. Just get used to being
living fat.
All right, give us another one, Gina Grant.
All right. Well, a brawl broke out at an Indiana McDonald's in the wee hours of Friday morning, and it was all caught on tape, according to Yahoo News. It was 3 a.m. when two women drove up to the fast food chain. They picked up their order, but returned moments later to complain that they weren't given the correct number of McNuggets. A manager showed them a receipt for an order of 4 McNuggets, not 10, like they thought, and were told they had to get back in the line if they wanted to order more. That's when things got out of control. The women started honking their horn, banging on the drive-thru window. Then they both climbed through the window and attacked the manager.
Definitely not a Jew.
The scuffle continued for more than a minute until the women climbed back out and into their car and fled the scene. Now, there was a woman who was capturing this behind them, hoping that if she turned in the footage, they'd be easier to catch. I like the first video. It's about, I don't know, 20 seconds, because there's a real sort of Abbott and Costello things that happens about three-fourths of the way through. This is just visual. Maybe we can put it on the website, but play the first one. Watch closely.
They're at the drive, to drive through.
Yeah, she's just filming. You don't see anything. Oh, head out the window.
Jeez, they're pushing the manager's head out the window?
I think that's one of the girls. The manager's trying to get her out. Because they're beating on him.
Wow.
There's a head protruding sideways, you point out, from...
Yeah.
Now, in the second video, they're both climbing out the window, screaming at the manager, and getting back in their car and fleeing the scene.
Couple things. See, here's the thing with... Places that serve food for under $3 shouldn't be open till 5 a.m.
Yeah, that's a
what
recipe.
What good could happen?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing but insane drunk people with zero education who let their fists do their talking. Now, ironically, really nice places could stay open till 2 in the morning because you're never going to get the guy going like, I want to spend $80 on surf and turf, but I'm destitute, but I let my fist do my talking. You're not going to get that. But McDonald's, how could it go any other way? The dumbest, highest people on the planet are going to be your clientele from midnight till 5 a.m., right?
That's your prime demo.
Until the work crew gets up,
right. And then there's got to be a weird crossover crew, which is about 5:30, the highest of the high, and the most responsible people come in at the same time. Like the guy, the woman who's in charge of doing the get out of the car at the school, who volunteers, who's that super mom who's just standing there going, helping with the backpack, getting busting her off, just waving like part traffic cop, part bellhop, all free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That mom is going to be rolling in at 5:45 to get sandwiches for the rest of the crew, along with the tweaker who's just wearing a suede vest and nothing, no shirt. He's got like a 280Z with one T-top missing. That dude is rolling in too at that exact, it's got to be a weird cross section. And then the tweaker guy's going to go away around 7, not too many of those.
Right.
They don't like
that's
the sunlight.
That's normal, working stiffs come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, remember Denny's? Did you ever go to Denny's next to the Galleria?
Oh, my God. There was one next to USC when I was there. You can imagine that at 2 in the morning.
That one's deep.
I could remember once in a blue moon. It always sounded like a good idea. But when we were working construction, there was one out in Topanga off of Ventura Boulevard, yes, like in Topanga Canyon. There was another one in Hollywood, and we work in construction. Every once in a while, we'd say, we're going to meet at the Denny's at 6 a.m. We're going to all have breakfast, and then we'll go in and do the job. And 6 a.m. is when the bar reopens. Oh, they close it off from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. And you roll in there at like 5:57, and you see dudes standing around waiting for like to move the cage so they can go sit in the bar. Like business guys. Like weird. Like, I don't know. Like, I dig the booze part. I just, the part where you're going to Denny's. First off, I'd like to weave ambiance in a little bit. When you're going to a bar, you know what I mean? Like, you can get booze anywhere. Why don't you go somewhere, place with some mahogany?
Yeah, but if they also serve eggs, you don't have to admit you're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So these guys are the functional ones that are going and have a couple of pops before they go in and sell insurance. Yep.
They have a plausible excuse. Like, I'm getting some breakfast.
I'm going to Denny's. Wow.
And some bourbon.
Yeah. Wait,
weird,
so,
yeah.
Yes.
Adam, in construction, do guys just start drinking at like 5 in the morning? Or
guys, there are guys who are alcoholics who will just like drink some beers throughout the day and claim that doesn't affect them. It does. I worked with a couple painters who drank a few cold ones. I made the mistake of getting high once before doing drywall when I was doing a job. And you don't get high. God. Don't get high before you do something that's miserable. Drywall hanging is miserable, and when you get high, it slows things down. You know what I mean?
Time like, stops.
Booze kind of speeds things up. Like, oh my God, we watch a whole NFL football Sunday. It's like it's gone already.
Only
you know,
high.
Getting high slows it down. So we had that, and then of course we had the electrician come in the next day and yell at us because we put drywall over all of the stub outs he had for the plugs and the lights, the can lights.
We just
drywalled over everything. So I don't recommend getting high in building. Getting drunk in building is no good. Building is, it's...
You need your faculties.
You need a cup of coffee in the morning.
Maybe get Adderall.
Going. I never
understood. So we were eating and everyone else was getting drunk.
I never understood when I used to work in offices and stuff, when people would go and get hammered at lunch and then come back to the job. Like, why are you? That's terrible, man, to be drunk and typing or like, trying to
wait around there.
Yeah, I'm
the worst.
I feel the same way. It's that thing when people go like, oh, man, this guy's been up for 71 hours straight, just tweaking, man, just taking the speed. And it's like, what's enjoyable about that? Like,
sleep's awesome.
I get the idea. I like the getting high and going to the concert and having a few beers and tailgating and watching the ball game. And like, I get all of the alterations and all of the events. I don't get the I haven't slept for 9 days part. That doesn't seem enjoyable to me.
It's the worst.
And it's sort of like the guys, I used to know a lot of guys who'd go to like, they take mushrooms and go to Disneyland.
Oh, sure.
And I'm like, Disneyland is so you don't have to take mushrooms. Like they built this so you don't have to get high. You can actually just get on the Matterhorn here. Like you need mushrooms at home, not at Disneyland. Why do we need to ratchet this experience up?
However.
Uh-oh.
You should definitely try it once in your adult life.
Really?
Yes.
Just speaking from experience?
Yeah. Space Mountain becomes a little more terrifying than you bargained for, but everything else is great.
Oh, all right. Well, my kids are going to freak out because I can't go alone, so I'm going to be really high. No, you know why I can't get high? I could never get high and go to Disneyland because I got to pay that bitch in the tartan skirt like $600 an hour to drag us everywhere to the front of all lines.
That's
and
right.
I could never, she gets paid more than Mark Garagus gets paid hourly. Like her billable hours are higher than Garagus. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be high and do that.
Wait, are you talking about, is this the $600 an hour so that you get to jump the lines?
Yes.
Oh, sounds great.
You know, I got to say, back to
somebody else's foot in the bill.
Back to my wiring.
Yeah, that's true.
Not the money.
Got you.
Here's my wiring. Not the money. I said, when this was initially pitched, how does it work? How do you get to the front of the line? And they said, oh, they just kind of bring you in the back way and they drop you off or whatever. And I went, okay, because what I don't want to happen is us just to go walk past all the unwashed masses that are waiting in line.
Boy,
and at the very end, just slide and go, hey, you've been, we're going
coming
next.
Through.
Yeah.
On your right.
So I said, the part where it costs $3,000, I'm not happy about, but I'll do it. The part where everyone watches you walk to the front of the line, then you step in front of them, that's the part where I'm a piece of shit, and I can't deal with that part. So I said to them, I don't want to go walk to the front of everyone's line. I don't like the way that feels. And they said, no, you go in like the side door or whatever. And I was like, Okay, I was trying to picture how that
like
works.
Crew
like
goes,
how
yeah.
how do you get in? One of the very many, I'd like to record these conversations because then you get there. It's like, what do we do? We're going to the front of the line. Where's the side door? What do you mean? We're just going to the front of the line.
There's
like,
no side
I thought there was a hatch or something. Oh, yeah. No, no. Didn't we drop down like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible? No, no. We just go walk to the front of the line. And then here we are doing the exact thing that I said I didn't want to do in front of everybody. Just get out of the way. Here we go.
It's
I'm
like,
dressed like one of the Bay City Rollers, and I will bring this rich family whose poop doesn't stink to the front of the line, and they're better than all of you. So go ahead.
It's like so the way brutal. You trick kids to get on rides they don't want to go on, but they did it with you.
Right.
That's
right.
Great.
Oh, the picture. There, the picture of, don't put it up yet, but there's a picture of us going down like
Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain that I think it sums up. My daughter and my son, and they're twins, and their personality. I don't think you could talk about how she's much more sort of outgoing and vivacious, and he's much more concerned and health conscious and things like that. Yeah, you could just show the picture. I'll show you the picture of this, and then you'll laugh your butt off.
Space Mountain.
Oh yeah,
speakers.
She has eyes open in the front row. He is literally covering all of his senses.
And who's the excited guy behind him?
Just a pedophile.
Yeah, just me and my Rams beanie. All right, let me tell you about this man. Vikings, history's critically acclaimed series is back. They got a 2-hour season premiere Wednesday, November 29th, 9 p.m. That's 8 o'clock, I should say 9 p.m. Eastern time. Season 5, Ivar the Boneless asserts his leadership over the great heathen army. And Ragnar's sons plot their next moves, and Bjorn follows his destiny into the Mediterranean Sea. I was just watching
you
some of
that
stuff.
You did it all from memory. That was impressive.
No, I'm a fan, man. This season, full of startling alliances, unbelievable betrayals. Vikings fight to rule the world. I got to tell you, man, it's what a renaissance for television. This stuff is so good. Yeah. I mean, it's movie
you could
quality.
Do a cheesy version of it 20 years ago.
Crazy movie, like big budget stuff. And Jonathan Rhys Meyers, which is funny because I'm a fan of his. Remember he played Elvis?
No, when was that?
He was Elvis in like a movie of the week.
Really?
The guy's got like a British accent.
Yeah, yeah.
Was knocked it out of the park as Elvis. Since a young Kurt Russell. We'll find that. You'll see just how talented the man is. So Johnny Rhys is back, and he's in Vikings this season. Again, the 2-hour premiere, that is Wednesday, November 29th, 9 p.m., everybody, on History. All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, if you are in the market for another job, this is something you might want to think about. If you need a break from all the holiday,
if your radio station's going away,
that
imminently.
If August is a better news girl than you, you may want to consider Cancun. Turns out you can get paid to lie on the beach and drink margaritas through the tourism website, Cancun.com. This is the title. This is what they're looking for.
Uh-huh.
The quote, Cancun experience officer. This lucky person will be paid 10 grand a month to sit on the beach, go on jungle adventures, check out the city's hotels, nightclubs, restaurants for 6 months. If you're interested, you have until December 17th to submit a 60-second video showing why you're the best person for the job.
I think there's a barrier to entry here. You got pretty hot, I'm imagining.
Maybe.
Yeah. And I also
maybe they want to go with an everyman.
They don't want Tubby doing this.
Mm. No, they don't want everyman.
Oh.
And it's probably
hot chicks.
Yeah.
Or any
so
man.
We're just looking at Johnny Rhys Meyers and Elvis. And made a pretty good.
Which one's which?
Pretty good Elvis.
So pretty.
Pretty
you know, good. He played Henry VIII in The Tudors, and that's I kind of didn't buy it because he's so fey. Like, he's very feminine. He's
so
pretty.
I always just think of him in Velvet Goldmine.
Yeah.
That kind of vibe.
Yeah, he's androgynous.
70s. Is that a band?
No, the movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is.
Never saw it.
It's about glam rock in the 70s.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, but is it the name of a band? Like
the
a
Velvet
fake band?
Underground.
Velvet Revolver was a band.
Yeah, and Velvet Underground.
Velvet Goldmine.
Velvet Goldmine's the name
it's
of the movie.
It's a Bowie song, right?
The name of the movie, but not the band in the movie.
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't think so.
Well, anyway.
And
now
like,
he's a Viking, so watch that. All right, let's do one more.
All right. Let me find a good one for you. Oh, here. You'll love this. And I should think of Vinny would, too. A new study has found that when it comes to being treated for depression, exercise not only helps with symptoms of depression, but patients actually want their doctors to discuss exercise as a treatment option, according to Yahoo News. Researchers from the Michigan State University and the University of Michigan.
to, found that among patient diagnosis with depression, 85% said they wanted to exercise more often, and 80% believe that exercise significantly improved their mood and anxiety. That means in some cases of mild to moderate depression, prescribing exercise could be the first treatment or a treatment option in combination with medication.
You have to. We're meant to sort of be on our feet. We're meant to be moving. There's also a part where you have to complete something. Like, you have to have some sense of doing something. Like, exercising gives you a physical sense of completing a mile or doing 10 reps or doing something like that. I think the best mental, physical, and whatever exercise anyone could ever get is like build a treehouse in the back of your house. Like just go get the lumber, carry the lumber from the driveway to the back, you know, get the saw out, you know, get the tape out and the level and just start pushing it, you know, so that sort of natural. In terms of your brain, that is like you sweating through your shirt and you stepping back and seeing something complete. Yeah. And I'm totally convinced that those guys are they're much happier and they're much more even than folks who work in the cubicle with the air conditioning and stare at the computer all the time. The cubicle air conditioning people, that you ride whatever wave you're on, highs and lows. I'm not feeling it today, or I'm super excited about this and that, and then I'm not about. The most even guys you'll ever meet are in the trades. They don't even, they're not even allowed to have moods. They're just, I don't have a mood. I do drywall, I do sheetrock, and I do tin knocking. I frame. Like, they just go in and go to work. Like, no one's not feeling it that day. Or you never see anyone like, just, where's Russ? He's pouting on a pile of 2x4s. What's up, Russ? Just not feeling it,
so
man.
Sullen.
Well, we could put that header in today. I'm not feeling it. Like, there is no not feeling it. It's like, get up and go get busy and start moving and shaking and making and being. And those guys seem to have a sense of humor. The day seems to go by. Right. They get a little sense of satisfaction.
More gratitude.
And the best thing you can do is go, you know, like at lunch, you go, by the end of the day, we're going to have this whole garage framed. All right. I want those ceiling joists in place, or I want the drywall up and I want it taped and mudded by the end of the day. So you set this little goal for yourself that's 4 hours in advance or whatever down the road, and you end up hustling instead of staring at the clock going, when do I get to go?
Run it out.
You actually have this mindset. It's great where you go, I said we're going to get this done by the end of the day, and we only have 45 minutes left, and you're actually wishing you had some more time. There's no doubt that the exercise, but the part they leave out of the conversation is the physical, tangible, build that, you know, built my daughter a bed. We never were closer. We never had a better time together. She loves it now. It's like the fact that I built it's a big deal. It's like, it's a big, important part of life, this sort of go do it, tangible part of life that all we do is ignore and then make fun of people who want to go do it themselves. Like, you don't have to do that. Get somebody to do that. Why are you doing that?
Right.
You go back inside and rot. Right. You pay a Mexican to do that. Get in there. It's rotten time. It's good rotting time. You should be in there throwing away food.
Right. And in an office environment, you don't really, I don't know if you ever get to see the fruits of your labor. You're like, great, I just made the CEO. He just got another $2 million.
You're running out the clock as opposed to beating the clock.
That's true.
And just waiting for the time to expire.
All right. Let's go out on that high note.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
May the Lord take a liking to you.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, let's give you a little happier news. True Car, man. New or used, you go True Car. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So, again, whether you're looking to buy new or you're looking to buy used, you got to go with True Car. You get online, you lock in, you find the car you want, then you lock in your price, you see what everyone else is paying for the exact same vehicle, apples to apples, you get your certificate, you go to your local certified True Car dealer, and you pick up your car. Quick, easy buying experience. That's why so many people are doing this. Our own Chris Maxipano went with True Car, everybody. Again, when it's time to buy, whether you're getting new or whether you're getting used, or do what Chris did, which I think he got a Prius with like 200 miles on it, so everyone thought it was new, but technically, shrewd, used. New or used, you go with True Car. Some features not available in all states. It is True Car. us, we'll be doing a live podcast. That's November 21st. Mark Garagus is going to be on stage with us. Brad Williams on stage. Mike August makes his triumphant return.
No!
Sorry, sweetie. Pasadena.
My mom's going to be there.
Good luck with the other job.
She's a Big Mike August fan. She was there last night.
Gina Grad will be there. We got the pre-cruise coming up. The Lackey's Corolla Drinks event. That's November 29th. Churchill's Pub, Miami. That's 8 o'clock. Dawson's going to be there. Loxie's going to be there. Chris Loxamana's band. And Dawson's playing as well. And the Lackeys are going to be there. Good times. Go to amcurl.com for any merch you like. Christina P., everyone. Mother Inferior. Very funny special. Available now on Netflix. Live dates coming up in Houston, Texas. And I'll tell you what you do. You go to her website, Christina, with a C, ChristinaPOnline.com. Yes, Christina?
Yes, thank you, Adam. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, my little Hungarian sister. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Christina P. and Gina G. and B. saying mahalo.
Istvan.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give him the thumbs up on Facebook and come out and see a live show. We're in Pasadena Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. Get your tickets now at AdamCarolla.com.